Technically speaking.
Welcome to our Technically Untechnical Technology Talk.
A Nywick Atlantic production.
And an award-winning podcast with your hosts, Chelsea Holloway and Alex Jackson.
So, Alex, since we last recorded, I think I had mentioned that I was going on a family vacation. Well, we did that. It was a lot of fun. We got to enjoy some tropical weather, some beautiful water. We went on a cruise. My three-year-old son loved the water slide on the boat. That was definitely his highlight. And my highlight was that we got to swim with stingrays. We even got to give him a little kiss and everything. It was fun.
Ew! Kissing stingrays.
That sounds pretty cool.
Joe, it was so cute.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm glad you all had a great time. And since we last recorded, I've just sort of been enjoying waiting for spring weather to come around. I'm not ready. I don't like this cold weather and ready for it to warm up a little bit more.
Well, hopefully it does soon. I know it's coming. It's coming, Alex. I promise. Right? Knock on wood.
Absolutely.
It'll get there for you before it gets there for us up here in DC. That's for sure. All right, so we are going to change course. No more talking about the weather or vacations, and we're going to talk about something a little bit more serious, war. More importantly, wartime readiness. So Nywick Atlantic is under the Department of the Navy, so this topic is at the forefront of all of the technology that we create.
Coming up, we've got an interview with Jen Schauger, who is the competency lead here at Nywick Atlantic, as well as one of the wartime readiness champions. She is going to explain exactly what we are doing to be wartime ready here at the command and also why we are currently taking this posture. Then we have our military moment with Nywick Atlantic's Command Master Chief, Matthew Keller, who speaks with me about his career in the Navy. Get comfy, turn up that volume, and let's get started.
So technology is going to be a large asset and tool in the defense of the United States in any future conflict. And to help us prepare for a possible war in 2027, Nywick Atlantic has stood up a wartime readiness posture. Jen Schauger sits down with us to explain exactly what we mean by this. Thank you so much for joining us here to chat about this very important topic. And we're going to start right off with, can you just please provide some context for why we as the Department of Defense, Department of Navy, are stressing readiness?
Yeah, so I would just say that from a NAV plan perspective, right, we're really focusing on two strategic ends. Readiness for the possibility of war with the People's Republic of China by 2027. So that's less than 700 days, right? And enhancing the Navy's long-term advantage. Also need to understand, right, as far as readiness, we are not going to be in this fight by ourselves. So part of that is that joint warfighting ecosystem. So whoever those, right, our allies are going to be, how do we work together to make sure that we're ready?
So some people might be surprised to hear that we're preparing to go to war with China. So what is that based on?
Yeah, so Xi Jinping from China put out a document that said that he plans to invade Taiwan by 2027. And so what we're trying to do is be ready so that every morning that he wakes up and he has to decide, is today the day? We want to ensure that today is not the day. So that's how we're working together.
And we are allies with Taiwan, so we would defend them.
Yes. And so again, that's how we're trying to plan, anticipate, right, what that could look like, what that distributed maritime operations, what that joint warfighting concept, how we would do that from that perspective, how do we be ready? How do we plan?
And speaking of that readiness, what can we do as we are nearing that 2027 date to make sure that the warfighter is prepared and is able to ensure that the mission can be completed?
Yeah, so, you know, we have to think about, I think a number of folks will have different definitions for readiness. So from my perspective, in this context, it's really preparing for conflict. It's also trying to get back in the fight. Any preps for war or conflict, we know that there could be damage, if you will. So I think how do we prepare from ensuring that our workforce is ready, trained, cross-trained, that our sailors and our Marines are ready, that we have the systems and services that we can ensure that they can complete the mission with whatever that looks like.
And you mentioned that term readiness. It's interesting because if you are active duty or a veteran, you know, all you need to hear is readiness, right? But our civilian workforce might need to hear the term wartime readiness because that's what we're doing. But to those veterans and those active duty out there, that's what readiness means. So when we refer to readiness, it's like you said, readiness for conflict, readiness for wartime. And nowadays that looks different, right? It's a different environment. And that's where Niwek Atlantic plays a crucial role in it.
Yeah. So the other thing I would say is, you know, we've had some of these conversations with our veterans, and they certainly know readiness. I would also say we're learning today in the Red Sea conflict how that environment does look different. Kinetic, non-kinetic effects, the impacts of cyber, we're seeing it even just in our personal. So those kinds of things we have to view differently, and potentially even how we prepare and how we counter that is going to be different.
Yeah, and we are an information technology command. So cyber, software, systems, that's our wheelhouse where we are going to contribute with this readiness. And so how is our workforce, how are our teams shifting that mindset to prepare tangibly?
So first, I would also say, sometimes we view things, right, in peacetime, and I could argue today that we're not in peacetime. So things like, you know, Admiral O'Connor, right, had shared that she canceled a number of instructions. What are those barriers for us as far as processes, policies, right, so that we can prepare and be ready today? I just lost my thought on some of the stuff that you asked about. Oh, for, you know, some of our engineers and technicians that sometimes have to, you know, travel or deploy, right, to support those warfighters, how do we ensure that they're travel ready? I mean, some simple things as some of the training, some of the passports, what are those things? Having access to the various classification systems, because we won't be fighting and or communicating on Nippernet. I would also say from a personal perspective, back to the technology, we rely on our phones for things like maps, for points of contact. I don't memorize phone numbers anymore, right? Because we have access to that on our phones. So how do we think about it in denied communications, whether that be from a personal perspective or wartime? So we have to assume, and we're planning, that that communication is not going to be available. So how do we make sure that our sailors can fight in a denied comms environment? How do we as families, as coworkers, as friends communicate if we don't have that comms, that internet, whatever that may look like?
So you're encouraging that personal preparation too, right? So I should buy a bunch of like freeze-dried food and put it in my garage. Is that what we should be doing here?
Stock it up. Well, I go back to, right, that kind of information warfare IT, you know, it is more than, I mean, just think of how much that has changed, right, in the last few decades of our reliance on that. So I think we want to focus on that professional and workforce readiness, but I do believe there is an aspect of personal, because there are things that we personally need to anticipate that we need to prepare for.
And whatever prep means for the individual family, for any type of situation. But the mindset here is, listen, technology is important, and technology is going to play a key factor in this future war. So whatever that means for preparedness for yourself, do, and then we are taking care of it from the workforce side.
Yeah, and lately, you know, back to that mindset, I've been viewing everything from a PACE, priority, alternate, contingency, and emergency, you know, so things like, I mean, we'll use the example of even today, coming into the office, getting on the internet, right? If your hardwired doesn't work, that's your priority. Next, you're going to try wireless, right? That could be your alternate. Your contingent, maybe it's your iPad, your iPhone. And then the emergency, I guess we're going back to, you know, I'm walking around the halls and trying to engage with folks. But I think that also mindset on, you know, how we do our jobs, how we support the warfighter from that PACE, how we prepare them from a PACE perspective, I think that's also an important consideration, if you will.
We've been talking about the readiness from a workforce standpoint, but what can families do, people who are connected to us outside of the government workforce, in terms of being prepared and being ready?
So I thought some of this, and maybe, you know, Chelsea, when we chatted before about how she automatically thinks about that, I thought about it from a family where an example, maybe it was Chelsea's of,
right,
you know, we have that. If something were to happen, we all know we're going to meet at a certain location. Or how do we prepare for things like, I don't know, I'm thinking about, you know, financial. I'm thinking about, do we have things written down, right? So that we can make sure that that if there's things that we need to do or have to have contact with, we have it written down and we can refer to that. You know, I don't want to be the doom and gloom because I do believe that being ready, though, right? It's all about the planning.
Yeah.
And how then we execute, get those sets and reps. So probably didn't answer your question that well.
That is helpful, though. It gives us an idea of where to start, and it may seem that it's a little bit overwhelming, but as long as you have these steps in place and are prepared, then things will come together in the way that will help us all.
I think some of it, too, is just having the conversation. That was a concern in the beginning, but I think having that discussion about what we're anticipating, what we're planning, again, doesn't have to be in the doom and gloom, but it can certainly be something from a preparation perspective.
And to not be too doom and gloomy. So if we were to get a cyber attack or some sort, there are so many defenses in place that we are currently working, even here at NYWIC Atlantic, to get us back up and running in a sense. So when you're prepping personally, it's not like a forever years and years and years power outage scenario. The recommendation is prep, you know, for maybe a couple weeks, which would still be a long time, but have that prep, have that cash, have a gas can nearby. You know, those are some simple things. Like even if you live in a hurricane zone, that's something that you would do, right? So yes, not trying to spread too much fear or doom and gloom, but the idea that if the Department of Defense is preparing for war in 2027, that would include cyber. It's not a bad thing as a person for your family to kind of prep for a small-ish cyber attack if there's a small one down the road. So I think that's kind of what you were going toward, right? Not like a apocalyptic scenario.
Right. And, you know, if we, again, think about what we do here at LANT, it is about not just defensive, but offensive, right? So you talk about cyber. So things that we're being proactive about, doing sets and reps, we've been doing and supporting exercises and tabletop exercises for a few years now, again, to prepare. And so as we're learning, as we're adapting, our adversaries are doing the same. So we too need to continue.
So what does that look like, that readiness in terms of our technology at a high level?
So I think back to how we're designing our systems and services, how we're also leveraging, and we can talk about our technical focus areas, right, on artificial intelligence, machine learning. For our Navy Enterprise Service Desk, we're leveraging AI to help with our knowledge management for those sailors. Anywhere from, we talked about cybersecurity, we've been for some, I feel like it's been 5 years or more, model-based systems engineering, right? How we can design that, model it, play scenarios, and then even focused on some of the software-defined hardware, zero trust, those kinds of technologies. Where are those capability gaps and how we at NYWIC LANT are addressing those as quickly as we can? Admiral O'Connor is definitely saying go fast. So how are we as a command addressing that? And certainly a number of areas that, and we're looking at how to do that either via NICE, via our engagement with our sponsors, however we can do that.
And for those who don't know, what is NICE?
So NICE is Naval Innovative Science and Engineering, and it is funding that we can leverage to support some of those capability gaps, whether via grassroots proposals. We have things called strategic investment areas, right, where we can get at technology to support things like workforce development, applied research, maybe tech transition, and even rapid prototyping, right? Again, some of those things to how we get fast and how we get at some of those hard problems to support our warfighter.
Great. Well, I love that as a command, we are definitely taking an approach to make sure we're ahead of the game, we're on top of what we need as far as readiness and prep for the potential conflict in 2027 against China.
Yeah, and I would just remember too, it is a global fight. And so back to having those allies, thinking about where we, NYWIC LANT, should be forward deployed, right? May not be in the areas we are today. So we need to consider that as well. But back to the readiness, it's all about the planning. Where do we see that we as NYWIC LANT can be a part of that?
Thank you, Jen, for joining us on the podcast. And we appreciate what you and your team are doing for NYWIC Atlantic.
Thank you. I appreciate it and appreciate being asked to come here and speak with you all.
As always, Alex, NYWIC Atlantic is staying ahead of the game and preparing our technology as well as our workforce for the possibility of war.
Yes, readiness is at the heart of not only our civilian workforce, but also our military members as well. Next, we have our Military Moment interview with Command Master Chief Matthew Keller, where he shares his experiences with other shipmates within the Navy.
Thank you, Command Master Chief Keller, for joining us today. Can you please tell us what you do for NIWC Atlantic?
Yes, I am currently the Command Master Chief for NIWC Atlantic across the 13 UICs associated.
And what was the reason that you wanted to join the Navy?
I originally joined the Navy in 1999. I had a young child and wanted to provide better care, health insurance, and different things for her to be healthy and strong and provide a good leadership role for her to look up to.
And over your career in the Navy, what has been one of your biggest accomplishments or something that you have enjoyed as part of being in the Navy?
A lot of things I've enjoyed about the Navy. I'm very passionate about it, but I would say overall, probably being a chief in the Navy because the experience, being able to be in different leadership roles, such as this role here, has got to show me a different side. So I'm an engineering background, so this is a lot different than what I'm used to. So it's kind of showed me a different perspective of the Navy, and those opportunities are something that you only get in a senior enlisted leadership role. So I would say that's probably my favorite part.
And what's been one of your favorite locations or tours of duty that you've been on?
So I would say probably I was on a frigate. I did counter-narcotic drug operations for 4 years. That was probably I call it the pirate Navy because we were chasing drug ships and fishing and growing beards, and it was just a different Navy. So I would say that was probably my favorite part.
That sounds interesting. What kind of advice would you give to someone who may be interested in joining the Navy or the military?
I would say don't get stuck on the job that you get when you come in the Navy. I didn't come in the Navy as a CMC, and I sure didn't come in the Navy as an MR. I came in undesignated, so I was able to try out different things before I chose what path I wanted to go. So look at different opportunities. Don't spend a lot of time fixated on that one thing, because there are opportunities for you to cross-rate, to go into a commissioning program, to make chief, different programs you can go into. So get a feel of the Navy and then see where you want to fit in.
Well, thank you so much for your time and thank you for your service.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Chelsea, it was a really great chat with the Command Master Chief, and I'm glad he was able to share his experiences with me.
Yeah, I really enjoyed hearing how his daughter inspired him to join the Navy. He believed his role in the military would help him be a role model for her, so I thought that was very sweet. All right, so coming full circle, we spoke about readiness in wartime and also how service in the military can provide care and role models to the next generation. What a great episode, right, Alex?
Yes, it was.
As always. And of course, to learn more about anything we've mentioned in the podcast, check out our social medias under NAVWAR or our NIWC Atlantic website. Links are in the description.
This wraps up another episode of Technically Speaking. Thank you for listening. If you have a tip or story that you think should be included in this podcast, please contact us at our public affairs email address, which is listed in the description.
Naval Information Warfare Center Atlantic, also known as NIWC, is the East Coast branch of the Naval Information Warfare Systems Command within the Department of the Navy. We develop a range of technologies that provide state-of-the-art capabilities to the United States military.